Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
I'm Vinny B, and it is August the 30th. Wow. The summer is coming to a close. The NASCAR regular season and the Cup Series and Xfinity Series has come to an end. The playoffs are going to begin. ARCA in action at the Milwaukee Mile. NHRA off this past weekend, back in action for the U.S. Nationals at Indianapolis Raceway Park. And I'll tell you, it's going to be a busy Labor Day weekend. Now, I don't know about y'all, but where I'm at, it was a pretty good weekend here weather-wise. And all of a sudden, about 5 minutes ago, it started to rain, maybe 10. So it's a little wet out there, but it's supposed to move through pretty decent. Anyway, let's check on some NHRA U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. You might still be able to get tickets. This is where they all compete for the final lockdown, lock into the countdown. Right now, as they stand, Top Fuel has four drivers locked in. One of them was a guest on our show. Actually, two of them. One was a guest on our show this past season, and the other one, who was sitting in first place, Brittany Force, was a guest years ago. Mike Salinas, Steve Torrance, and Justin Ashley are the only four locked in. So it's going to come down to this weekend to see who the other six are. And it's close, but not close enough. So I'm pretty sure the way the position's standing right now, the only change that I see that might flip positions would be Sean Langdon and Leah Pruitt, both with 761 points in 6th and 7th. Depending who finishes at what spot ahead of who, we'll determine that, but I think they pretty much have that locked up. Now you have Austin Proc, Clay Milliken in 11th and 12th, and 14 points behind. They're 14 points behind Tony Schumacher. So that's possibly doable. But Milliken and Proc would have to advance two rounds ahead of Schumacher in the eliminations to actually get that, and maybe squeeze in a few qualifying points. But other than that, I think that's the only thing that might change, but it's pretty iffy. 14 points, maybe one of them could bump Schumacher, but I don't think both will. I wonder what would happen if Milliken and Proc both tied in points and finished ahead of Tony Schumacher in 10th. That would be interesting. All right, on to the funny car division. This looks like it's set in stone. Only one car not locked in out of 10. And the only reason why is the 11th place guy is only 4 points out. So you have Robert Height leading the points, and Matt Hagen, 250 back in second. No switch there. Ronnie Capps in third, 306 back. No, he's not advancing or forward. Bob Taskett in fourth. John Force in fifth. There's a 10-point gap between the two. That's doable. Taskett coming off back-to-back wins. Might be on a bit of a roll, so we'll have to wait and see there. J.R. Todd in sixth, and Alexis DeJoria in seventh. There's a 14-point gap between those two. Neither of them will catch fifth place, but they could swap there. Cruz Pedregon in eighth. He's 23 behind DeJoria, so he might And then you have Tim Wilkerson and Chad Green. Wilkerson's locked in because he's 121 points ahead of Green. And like I said, Green and Jim Campbell in 11th and possibly Blake Alexander in 12th. But when you have Green and Campbell 4 points apart, that's where the last lock-in would happen. All righty. What do we got left? Pro Stock and Pro Stock Motorcycle. Pro Stock, only 4 positions locked in. Yeah, interesting. In first, 126 back of second is Erica Enders over Aaron Stanfield. There's not going to be a switch there. Kyle Koretsky in third. He's not going to move up. Greg Anderson in fourth is your last lock in, and he can possibly catch Koretsky. Because he's 17 points back. That's one round. 20 points around. Then you have Troy Coughlin in seventh, Dallas Glenn. Troy Coughlin in fifth, Dallas Glenn in sixth. Mason McGahey in seventh. In eighth, rookie, been on the show, Camry Caruso. We're going to get her on and talk about going into the playoffs after next week. Because Matt Hartford, he's close to her, but he might be able to bounce her to ninth, but I don't think Bo Butner in 10th will bounce her out of the playoffs. Now, can somebody bounce Bo Butner out of the playoffs? Fernando Cuadra Jr. with 5-point gap between him and Bo Butner. That's a one round of difference right there. So that could happen. Derek Kramer in 12th. He's 25 points out of 10th. That's two rounds. That's possible, but not probable. All right. Stock Motorcycle. We have 8 locked in. And those 8 are Joey Gladstone has a 64-point lead over Angel Sampei. Angel is the winningest NHRA racer as a female. Winningest NHRA female racer. And she has 3 Pro Stock Motorcycle Championships. She has a 32-point lead over Eddie Krawick, her teammate, in third. Used to be Krawick and Andrew Hines, 1 and 2. It was, like, disgustingly repetitive over the course of the years. But Andrew Hines parked his Harley and decided to run the team. And Angel and Eddie, and they all switched to Suzuki. They need, I guess, a little bit more working, but they're getting it figured out. So look for them to be at the top. Not out of the woods. Angel won't take first, but she might have a shot at the championship because there's only a 20. Once everything's set and done, first and second is 20 points apart, and then second through 10th are all 10 points apart. So it's going to be pretty interesting there. Third and fourth, Eddie Krawick third. Steve Johnson in fourth. He's 7 points behind Krawick, so he could catch him. Matt Smith in fifth. He's 6 points behind Johnson. So you got three there that could be battling for spots. Angie Smith, Matt Smith's wife, she's in sixth, but she's over 100 back. Now she's about 152 back, 62. So she's not going to move out of sixth. Jerry Savoy, he's in seventh. Karen Stouffer, who's the last lock in eighth, could catch Savoy in seventh. And both have a faint shot at Angie Smith in sixth, but I don't see anybody. Jerry could probably catch her, but you're looking at three rounds, so it's not. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe two rounds. Definitely three. In ninth, Mark Ingerson. And tenth, Ryan Oler. I'm surprised they don't have Ingerson locked in because he's exactly 90 points ahead of Oler. So that's a big get. So I'm surprised ninth spot isn't knocked in. Now, 11th, Jimmy Underdahl, he is 7 points out of 10th. So he might be able to burst the bubble, so to speak. All righty, so you can catch all this weekend, this coming weekend. For the Dodge Power Brokers U.S. Nationals. And let's see. If you're all going to watch it on TV, we'll give you the TV schedule. Eastern Standard Time listings. Oh, these ads. Okay. Sportsman Series. No, I don't. There we go. We're a little bit behind here. Okay. Yeah, that's the one I want. And looks like Fox Sports 1 will be airing them from 1 to 3 and then 4 to 5. Qualifying show in the three, qualifying show two. Finals, Monday, 12 to 2, Fox Sports 1. And then repeat from 2 to 5. How do you go from a two-hour final to a three-hour final? And then it re-airs. Finals re-air Sunday, September 1. Okay. They're saying September 5th, so. Lucas Oil Series, Camping World Series. That's the ones. Anyway, check your local listings. And, we'll talk about it next week. All righty. ARCA at the Milwaukee Mile for the Sprecher. First time when I saw it, I thought it said Sketcher, but it's Sprecher or Sprecher 150. Fire Brewed Craft Soda. Must be a local product because I've never heard of it, and I didn't know you brewed soda. Beer, yes. Here's the results. Sammy Smith takes the checkered flag. Taylor Gray takes second. Daniel Dye, excuse me, third. Raja Karuth. Fourth, Nick Sanchez. Fifth, Landon Pembleton. Sixth, Jesse Love. Seventh, Jake Finch. Eighth, all rookies. Karuth is a rookie, so is Daniel Dye and Taylor Gray. And it looks like Sammy Smith, for that matter. It looks like a bunch of rookies in this one. Jesse Love in seventh. Jake Finch. Greg Van Alstyne, ninth. Matthew Gould rounds out your top ten. The ladies in the race were 12th, Tony Breidinger, and 14th, Amber Balsian. Mandy Chick. I guess another lady. And there were 28 drivers. So, Rita Thomason. Stephanie Moyer. A lot of ladies in this one. So the standings as they sit. Nick Sanchez leads the points. Daniel Dye second. Raja Karuth third. Greg Van Alst fifth. Fourth, fifth and sixth, Tony Breidinger, Amber Balsayan. They're holding serve in their fifth and sixth spots. Sammy Smith, the winner, in seventh. Brad Smith, eighth. Taylor Gray, ninth. And Jesse Love. Is your 10th place spot. And where's the back of page? The next event will be at the Rust-Oleum Automotive Finishes 100 at the DuQuoin State Fairground at the dirt track. And that'll be Sunday. I think the 4th is a Sunday. Yeah. Sunday's the 4th, Monday's the 5th. All righty. And then there's not many races left in the ARCA series. And after this one, you have Kansas the 10th. 5 days later, Bristol the 15th. Harris Neck 200 in Salem Speedway the 1st of October. And the Shore Lunch 200 at Toledo Speedway, the 8th of October. NASCAR Cup Series, 10 races to go. Same with the Xfinity Series. Truck Series already in their playoffs. They did not run this past weekend. So let's go see what we've got. The Xfinity Series race. Now, all was said and done. This race ran Friday. Making the playoffs, a guy that pretty much drives for him, it's his family team. They did have some Richard Childress backing. I don't know if they, Richard Childress, they buy their equipment from him. I know, I think once before that he actually drove for Childress. Had more Childress support, but Jeremy Clements took the checkered flag. He led one time for three laps. One time. So that goes to show you at Daytona, just one of those, you know, when you get in clusters and people get wrecked and all that kind of stuff. That's what happened. So Jeremy Clements, probably the biggest win of his career. Did he win a road course 2 years ago? I don't know. I ran into him at Dover several times. Uh, But the guy runs, you know, he uses what he's got and does the best of it, and, you know, he's usually in the top 20 when something breaks, but good for him. I'd like to see a, what they call a mom-and-pop operation win a race, especially a big one at Daytona. Timmy Hill came home second. A.J. Allmendinger was third. Brandon Brown. Boy, that's a famous name anymore. Well, the first one is. Due to him winning Talladega and the crowd chanting something in the and the interviewer said, look, they're all cheering for you, saying, let's go, Brandon. And ever since then, let's go, Brandon has been a reference to something else, which I won't mention on this show. If you want to catch what I will mention it on, tune in to the They Still Live podcast. You have to go to rumble.com, type in the search, one word, all together, They Still Live podcast, hosted by Jeff Sandor, the guy who played Dale Earnhardt in NASCAR, The History of Speed. Yes, he wanted little old me to do a podcast with him. He's been on our show a few times, and once is playing Dale Earnhardt, once is playing Colonel Sanders on The Food That Built America, Season 1, host of Gallery of Guns, and some other projects that once I snare a guest, they want to come back on, it's more than welcome. It's a, they have an open door. So, Brandon Brown in fourth. Sage Karam in fifth. Ryan Vargas in sixth. Ty Gibbs, who won stage one, in seventh. Led twice for 11 laps. Didn't have a very good day. Points-wise, but did finish on the lead lap, 118 laps, so. Alex Labb is eighth. J.J. Yeley, ninth. He pops out of nowhere sometimes. And rounding out your top ten is Kyle Sieg. Race took 2 hours, 36 minutes, and 11 seconds. Average speed, 113.3 miles an hour. Margin of victory, under caution. Clements took the white flag before the caution came out. Other than that, they didn't need a restart. It was the Wawa 250, powered by Coca-Cola. I wish we had Wawas down here. All my Wawa convenience stores, I guess, were the replacement in the Northeast. Well, at least my area of the Northeast, 7-Elevens. Now we down here, we got Sheets. We have Wawa's on the east side of Virginia because I stopped at one when I was at Richmond. But we could use a few down here. This is, yep, Clements' second Xfinity Series victory. The first one was a road course and made him in the playoffs. 10 cautions for 41 laps. 19 lead changes amongst 12 drivers. Who won stage two? Oh, there we go. Noah Gragson. And he led three times for 52 laps. Then wound up in a wreck, finished eight laps down in 22nd. Check the points and the playoff lineup for the Xfinity Series. Here's how it stacks up. NASCAR Xfinity Series driver points. Oh. I thought the regular season was over. It's not for the Xfinity Series. There's no reseeding going on. A.J. Allmendinger, Ty Gibbs, Justin Allgaier, Noah Gragson in fourth, Josh Berry fifth, Austin Hill sixth, Brandon Jones seventh. All have wins. Eighth is Riley Herbst, Sam Mayer ninth, Daniel Hemric tenth, Landon Castle 11th, and Ryan Sieg 12th. Jeremy Clements in 16th, just moved into 8th. Bouncing down, Ryan Sieg. Say goodbye, Ryan. On the playoffs, I guess they have another. I guess Darlington are going to do it? I don't know. Surprised they haven't done that. Anyway, let's go hear from our winner. Good to hear. Where are you at? Jeremy Clements, his win.
We are joined by our race winner tonight, Jeremy Clements, driver number 51.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. And then, okay, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll get you a wireless mic to you. Go ahead and start over here.
Dustin Ovino, JC.com. Jeremy, you told me a couple, I guess, weeks ago that you really wanted to deliver a win for this team. Now that you – did you believe that, first of all? Did you believe you could?
Not really. I mean, it's just, we're just an underfunded small team, and obviously when we have our ducks in a row, we can run pretty competitively, but to win is a tall task. But, man, we won at Daytona. Like, I'm just I'm dumbfounded. I'm shocked. I'm speechless. So I'm still trying to figure this out, and I'm just so grateful that we were able to do it. I can't believe it.
What's it mean to deliver it for you and the four full-time employees that you guys have?
Oh, obviously it's the world. I mean, to get these guys a win, and my sponsors, these guys, that's All South Electric, One Stop Convenience Store. They've been with me for All South's been with me 10 years plus. One Stop was my first sponsor on a go-kart when I was 7. So, and they're here. So that gives me chills. But yeah, it's just incredible. There's no words to describe it. So happy to get these guys, my team, my dad, and everybody a win, man. At Daytona, we won it legit. There was no BS caution or rain or whatever. Anything happened, we won hands down. So it's pretty damn cool.
Okay, we'll go over here to Bob, Dalton, and Dustin.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. I think when I talked to you, maybe Road America, you were a little bit down. You weren't sure, you know, exactly how competitive you'd be now that you get this win. What does that mean for your program and, like, just, you know, how you kind of looked at your season 5 hours ago compared to now?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough season for sure. We've been in a lot of wrecks. I mean, the first race here we started, had the fastest lap of the race and got wrecked very early and didn't even have a shot. And that's kind of like the start of our season, the way it just, and we've been in the wrong place, wrong time, numerous times. And then we've had some good runs. We've had a top five at Loudoun. We've had good runs of the road courses, had speed, but just never was able to put it together. And, you know, this is a speedway race, obviously, so anything can happen. But we were the ones that survived for once. And I've had my fair share of wrecks and everything. So just to win is incredible. Hopefully we get some help from Chevy and other people for the playoffs now, since we're in them again, and we can really step up our program to try to even advance from the first round. I really don't even know the races, from where we start. I know Bristol's the last cutoff race, and then, hell, I don't even know where we race after that, to be honest. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, wow, okay. I feel good about one of those tracks, but Texas and Talladega are like, yeah. Just because we won here tonight does not mean anything about Talladega. So, but, yeah, I mean, we're just going to give it all we got. We have nothing to lose. I mean, this is all from here is a bonus. So I'm just happy to be here with you guys drinking a Busch Light.
Jeremy, DaltonHobbies@FunStress.com. When we were back here in February, you were involved in an early incident, and you were upset when that occurred with the driver who was at fault for it. I can't imagine you were actually looking forward to coming back here after that, and I can imagine that you probably were not imagining you were going to win this race.
No, I definitely didn't imagine we'd win. I mean, we don't have the best speedway package, really. We built our own engine, so we're off a little on power-wise, but I'm hoping Chevy will help us get what we need for the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, that was a rookie there in the first race, and he messed up, and, you know, he just didn't have a lot of experience. I was just where he ended up, unfortunately. So, you know, it's part of it. It's racing. It sucked. Put us out early. And then, you know, coming back, you just got to have a clean slate. You got to have a short memory in this racing stuff and keep moving forward. Hey, babe. There's my wife.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. A few things, Jeremy. Just to clarify, you only have 4 full-time employees with your shop?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we'll have 4 full-time, and then we'll have, like, you know, a guy that's a firefighter come in, you know, every other – when he can, really. So, yeah, we've got a very small team.
And you're working on the cars, or what are you having to do?
Unfortunately.
You still got to prepare still.
Yeah, I don't – yeah, I have to do everything from, you know, getting the sponsors, booking hotel rooms. I mean, anything it takes, sweeping the floor, putting the shifter in, chassis down in the car, it all ends with me. So I got to make sure everything's right, and it's a full-time job for sure. So it's a lot, to be honest, when you're trying to juggle all that stuff. But yeah, we're a very small team, and we've been here a long time, obviously. So hopefully we can keep making our program better and better.
A couple other things. I know every team is different, so I don't want to certainly compare, but certainly we see Brandon Brown's team. You know, he's faced a family team, faced financial struggles, and he's had to get out of the car for people to go in the car with sponsorship. How have you guys maintained, or have you guys not gotten to that point where, you know, you'd have to bring in somebody as opposed to you, or have you guys actually come close to that in the past?
No, not really. I mean, we've been very smart over these years, honestly. You know, we've got to cut a lot of corners that cost speed. But, you know, we built our own engines, which I said that earlier. That cuts a lot of the cost down for sure. So, no, we've never been to that point. And we can, at the end of the year, we can make money and pay our guys good and try to keep them around and make our stuff better and better and try to buy newer and newer stuff. But, yeah, we've been fortunate. I mean, yeah, I would love to just burn through a lot of money and make our stuff the best it can be, rent the best engines and everything. But we have zero engineering. We have no engineers. So there's definitely some things I would love to do, but we have to we can't do them if we're going to keep doing this. So, or we just got to get more money. That's all it comes down to. But we've got so many good sponsors behind us and partners that we're a team. We spend an eighth of what a big team spends for a race. So it's a lot more affordable for a sponsor to be in our car.
After winning the race, you kept saying, what the hell, what the hell happened? Why were you so dumbfounded?
I mean, because I won. I mean, I didn't even think that we had a shot. And, you know, I just was like, wow, it's like everything went the way it should for us to win. And I'm just shocked. I can't believe it. I mean, I didn't have a car to win if everybody survived. I mean, I couldn't beat, you know, Allmendinger and the 21. Those guys are incredibly fast. Their Chevys were just stupid fast. I couldn't keep up with them really, unless I had somebody pushing me. So, they just had some misfortune. And then AJ got back up there and got beside me, and I was able to side draft him and slow him down. And then, I don't know where the hell he went. I was like, man, we just took off all of us. It's like we hit nitrous. And so I was just watching my mirror the whole time, listening to Chris Monez, my spotter, and it's just incredible. I'm sorry I said that so much, but I'm just shocked that we won, because we're, you know, hell, I was thinking if we get the top 10 and bring this car on one piece, that'd be a great day.
Jeremy, congratulations. Deb Williams, RacingTheDay.com. You mentioned afterwards about thanking God for protecting your hand. What exactly happened to your hand, and when did that occur?
Yeah, in 2004, I had a drive shaft in my dirt lay model come and through the car and about ripped my hand off, and I got a skin graft on it and 10 surgeries a year out of racing. And so what I meant was thank God for saving my hand that I could even be in a race car. And so, I mean, I owe it all to him for sure. He was definitely with me tonight. I can't – that wreck on the backstretch, the big wreck, I mean, how we got through that, I don't know. I mean, it's incredible. And, yeah, the good Lord's been with us and definitely blessed us, and we won. So it's just – it's a good feeling. I got a hand that I can drive with. I mean, the doctors literally told me you'll never race again, and I was like, y'all are crazy. You just do your job and make it the best you can, and we'll figure it out from there. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Dale McFadden, Speed Sport. Two questions. First, for the record, how many beers have been consumed since the checkered flag?
Well, you know, they gave me a half of one in Victory Lane. Somebody has, like, one of those guys drank it. I don't know who drank it. I mean, Billy Bob, who, for all I know. And then my man over here, I don't know where he went. He's gone. He gave me this Busch Light, and it's about out. So really just one and a half. So I can consume a few more. I'm not driving no more. I'm done for the night. I drove all I wanted.
There you have Jeremy Clements, your Xfinity winner at Daytona. So good for him. He's, like I said, underfunded team, makes the playoffs. Second time he's done so, I think, as a winner. So he's only got two Xfinity Series wins, so. You heard about his climb into, you know, going through the ranks. And hey, if you could ever nail a sponsor, hey, you win Daytona, you might be able to, at least for the playoffs. Wouldn't that be great? Anyway, let's go to the main event of the weekend. The Coke Zero. Zero sugar. It used to be Coke Zero. Now this Coke Zero Sugar 400. It used to be the Coca-Cola 400. But actually, originally, when I started watching this, it was the Firecracker 400. It was on 4th of July. They didn't have a race sponsor yet. So, 160 laps, 400 miles, shouldn't have taken that long, right? Wrong. It took 2 days, because it was supposed to start at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. And they didn't get it started. So they had to postpone it because of rain. So they started it. They scheduled it for 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Guess what? Rained again. Actually, no, they did get it started. And then got to 21 laps to go before it rained again. So the race was 21 laps from being over. And guess what? They red flagged. Did they call it? No. They reran. Oh, first they started rerunning 2015 Daytona race. Then I guess they decided to rerun the actual race that started that day. And guess what? They completed the first 139 laps of the race, you know, before it went red for rain a second time. So they finally came back to live television. I think they could do this because the original network was regular NBC, and then they bumped this to CNBC. So they finally got it going. Hard to believe. Well, you thought they'd ever, like I said, I thought they would have red flagged it, but they didn't. So they finally got the thing going again. When all was said and done, Austin Dillon took the checkered flag. Tyler Reddick came in second. Austin Cindric was third. Landon Castle in fourth. Noah Gragson, who was up in third and got rubbed a little bit, wound up fifth. Cody Ware, sixth. B.J. McLeod, seventh. Martin Truex Jr., eighth. That was not good for him. Ninth, David Ragan, and Kyle Busch rounds out your top ten. The reason why an eighth place finish was not good for Martin Truex, he got bounced out of the playoffs. Because he did not have a win. Had he got a win or won this, he would have been in. But that being said, the race took, 2 hours and 52 minutes and 44 seconds. Average speed, 138. Margin of victory, 0.128 seconds. This is Dillon's fourth career Cup Series victory. He did win the Daytona 500 one year. And seven cautions for 30 laps. A couple of those being read over the course of a couple days. Well, actually, over the course of one day, when was the red flag? I'm not catching a lap on that. Anyway, it was a 3 hour, 19 minute, 57 second red flag. That's enough to replay the whole beginning through the actual part of the race. All right, there were 39 lead changes amongst 19 drivers. That's what happens when you have pack and restrictor plate. They load up like that. All right, let's take a look now. The playoff lineup and how they sit. Okay, the regular season championship was clinched by, here we go, I can't open the document. I got 16 drivers, and I can't open the document. Let me try it again. Let me go back to that pack. Yeah, well, we're right to the... Ever while opening this document, I was just there. All right, let's go to our winner. Unless my internet's down. That's possible. It is raining, but let's see. Ooh, better than Ezra. Let's check with Austin Dillon.
With our post-race media availabilities, we're joined with our race winner, Austin Dillon, driver of the number 3 Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet. Austin, made the playoffs for the fifth time in your career, won your way in. How's it feel?
Feels amazing. I prayed before, is like, let God have all the glory and light shine through me. And today, is getting through that wreck, I mean, it was, I don't know what you call that. We went from 15th to first. I mean, I know what it's called. It's called, you know, the good Lord was looking after us. And it was cool to, go through that whole cycle of thinking that the race was going to be called for rain. My first reaction when I got out of the car was, stay focused. And, I was just happy to be in the position we were in. And I said that in my interview. I was like, whatever happens from here, it's a win. We were in a good spot, and that's all you could ask for. And you go in that room where they make you sit and put the camera on you forever, and it's like you're thinking in the back of your head that somebody's going to walk around the corner and say, hey, congratulations, you won. But you don't let your mind drift to that. It's like, you still got races, laps to go. And I knew after that second storm, had to get my mind right that if they didn't call it then, we were going back green. So when they went back to replaying the race, I had to go on my bus, and I went over there and watched Paul patrol with Ace because he needed a nap, and he never went down. He's like me. He don't sleep. So just chill with him and watched our Carolina Cowboys. I watched them right up until the time I got into the car, and I knew they had won the game. So it was cool that we won and they won in Austin, Texas. So pretty sweet day. It's our first event win for the PBR team, and they won, and we did too. It's an amazing day. Thank you, Jesus.
Sounds like a great one. Let's go ahead and open up the questions.
Before we open up the questions, I did get the page up. And here are your top 16 playoff contenders. Chase Elliott did clinch the regular season. He has 40 playoff points, and they are seeded according to playoff points. So Joey Logano is 25 playoff points, so there's a 15-point difference between Elliott and Logano. Ross Chastain in third has 20 playoff points, so there's only a 5-point gap there. And it goes along there. Kyle Larson, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney. But he's the only playoff contender due to playoff points, and he's in seventh with no wins. So he stage won him to death. Obviously, he either had to win one or two stages to get 13 points. He's tied with Denny Hamlin. Hamlin has two wins and three stage wins, and Blaney has five stage wins. That would only be 5 points. So I don't know how that works. Anyway, Tyler Reddick, Kevin Harvick, Christopher Bell, Kyle Busch, Chase Briscoe, Daniel Suarez, Austin Cindric, Alex Bowman, and with the win, to get in, the last one to do so, Austin Dillon, who we're just hearing from. Martin Truex Jr., he was the second guy with no points, no wins, and he was below Ryan Blaney, so guess what? Poor Marty doesn't make the playoffs this year. It's a shame because he's a Jersey dude, so he's got to go with the local guys, and texting Shauna Robinson, former NASCAR driver, friend of the show, and mine. She's a Truex fan, too, so we were commiserating a little bit on Bumby. Anyway, let's go back to questions to him.
Please raise your hand, and we'll get a mic to you. We're going to start over here. We'll go to Gluck, and then over.
Congratulations, first of all, on the win and making the playoffs. Chris Gollum from News Daytona Beach. I think it's safe to say one of the key moves after we got going again was the either contact or near contact with Austin Cindric running for the lead.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could just walk me through what was your intention there and how did that play out?
So laps were clicking down, and I knew I could get to the twos back bumper pretty good. 62 and the eight did a good job of getting up through there, so I felt like three Chevys in a row was an advantage. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I knew that the 12 car was still out there. And before, I didn't know where he was points-wise. But if I waited to the white flag to make the move, possibly if he wrecks or someone wrecks back there, it could take our shot away. So I wanted to make it before the white. And truthfully, that was – it just kind of happened. I was kind of planning on getting a bigger run than that before and pulling out to the right. And I figured that – the two was going to be a sitting duck because they were going to go with me, the Chevys would, and then we'd race it out from there. But he just kind of got loose as I got to his back bumper that time into one, and I'd kind of been giving him that same shove. I don't know if I just caught him with a little more momentum that lap than the others, but when he got free, I just kind of moved up the track, and then I got way out front, and it's very hard to tell yourself to hit the brake pedal when you're driving away from the guys that are behind you to, you know, not give up that huge gap. So when I saw Tyler got there and they were all splitting up back there, I was like, I just can't let them get too big of a run. And I knew Tyler would have my back. You know, he's been a good teammate to me and enjoyed working with him. So, you know, hit the brake pedal. He got to my back bumper. And from there on, it was more just kind of managing the gap to him in my mirror. And we were able to bring it home.
As best you can tell, was there an actual impact between your bumper and Austin?
no harder than I had been the last 10 laps, hitting and pushing and pushing. I mean, you see those flaps come up in the front. I mean, we're pretty much connected, and I'm pushing them. So, I mean, it wasn't any more than what I had been, I felt like. Thanks, Austin. Thank you.
Here's what? There you have Austin Dillon. All right. Let's wrap up the show with the upcoming holiday weekend events. On Saturday, September 3rd, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, you got the Sports Clips Haircuts VFW Help a Hero 200 at the Lady in Black Darlington Raceway. That'll be on the USA Network. And on Sunday at 6 p.m. and later start, I guess, finish it under the lights, the Cookout Southern 500 at Darlington Raceway. Now, the Lady in Black, too tough to tame because of the odd egg shape of it, will present a few challenges to some of the drivers. So let's see who can tame the lady. Anyway, that's our show for the day. We'd like to say tune in next week and check us out again on the They Still Live on Rumble.com. We have a couple episodes up on that. On Facebook, the They Still Live page. We'll post them there, one of the YouTube ones. So we've been banned from YouTube, well, not temporarily, but we think it's going to wind up. We're a show that was posted episode 20-something, so you're looking at a long time ago. Anyway, because we're on episode 85 now, so it's like YouTube is pulling a Facebook, going back and finding some old stuff and saying, hey, that's bad stuff in there. You can't broadcast that. You're banned for or suspended or through YouTube. Anyway, Rumble.com. They have a community standard list too, so I'm kind of curious what we can or can't say. We'll see what happens on that one. Anyway, I'm Vinny B, your host here on Garage Talk Live. Tune in every Tuesday at noon on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live, or if you miss it live, it'll be on podcast within maybe a half an hour after I end this one, and just go to that same website and page and pick it up. All righty. See you all next week. Good day. Good racing. Bye now.